And now for reading and writing and radio.
One day, when Toad got out of bed, he looked at his watch and saw that it was time for the paper boy to deliver his paper. The paper boy tossed the paper through an open window while Toad was yawning. Toad swallowed the newspaper.
That dramatic first paragraph was written by Adam Smith of Second Grade Washington School in Sterling, Illinois. But you can think up dramatic situations, too.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Today we're still recording Adam and Ryan Smith of Sterling, Illinois, because last week's program on the Sherlock Holmes spoof was getting too long and we hadn't even got to Adam yet. So a week has gone by for you, but only about 10 minutes for us between the programs. We could call this Narnia time, or maybe it's reverse Narnia time. So we are going to go right on, and we're going to go on with Adam's story, which is called Toad Gets Sick. And as you recall from the opener, he had his mouth open when the paper boy was tossing the paper through an open window and yawning, Toad rather than the paper boy, and the newspaper went into his throat and Toad swallowed the newspaper. Adam, would you continue with the story?
Should I start where?
Start right here, that afternoon.
That afternoon, Toad went to the doctor for a checkup. "You have something strange in your tummy. It says that the stock market is down 40%. Toad, you should go home and lie down. That germ must be pretty smart. It held on the side of your tummy that the stock market has crashed. Toad, you are a very sick fraud."
Okay, so Toad went home and lay down. That word there was the germ. That germ must be pretty smart that was writing on his tummy. Toad went home and lay down. Toad thought that the germ must be at least 20 years old and have gone to college. Then he remembered the newspaper. Chapter 2 is called The Operation. You read the first line there, Adam.
Toad told the doctor that he wanted to have an operation to get the newspaper out of his tummy.
I'll read the next line. Go line by line, okay? The doctor said, "Toad, you swallowed a newspaper. You shouldn't do that."
"No," said Toad. "The paper boy threw the newspaper in the window while I was yawning and I swallowed."
"Okay," said the doctor, "if you really want an operation." The doctor told Toad to go right to the hospital and ask for an operation.
When Toad got to the hospital, he asked for an operation. The nurse said, "Go right into the emergency room. We will
the
take
emergency
care of
room,
you.
And we will take care of you." Read just a little slower and more distinctly, okay? Let's see. "Dr. Smarty Pants, come to the emergency room immediately," said the nurse.
The doctor came in.
Go on.
He was a tall, lion-hearted man. In fact, he was a lion.
"Why do you want me?" asked the doctor.
"I don't know why. I just felt like calling you in here. While you're here, Toad needs an operation."
"What kind of operation does he need? Does he need his toadstools removed?" said the doctor. Yuck, yuck, yuck.
"Just shut up," said the nurse, "and get on with the operation. He has a newspaper in his tummy and needs it removed."
The doctor told the nurse to get his instruments. The nurse went to get his instruments. She brought back a banjo, a French horn, and a violin. They started playing a wonderful duo.
What about my application? Said Toad.
Good, you read that with good expression. Toad's getting hysterical, right? Okay, said the doctor. Get out my medical instruments now, nurse.
Okay, Dr. Smarty Pants, said the nurse. The nurse went in to get the doctor's instruments.
Toad went to the operating table and got on top of it. He lay down and waited for the doctor to come. The doctor finally came to do the operation.
I'm ready for my instruments, nurse, said the doctor. Hand me my chainsaw, nurse, said the doctor. Toad jumped up and ran out of the hospital and heard that.
And did you get that word, the chainsaw? And Toad decided to leave at that point. Chapter 3 is called The Germ. Toad decided to go to the cafe. Toad ordered coffee with cream and sat down at a table across from a germ. Toad explained to the germ that he had swallowed a newspaper. He asked the germ if he could help him to get the newspaper out.
The germ said, okay, as long as you'll show me someone to go inside of and make sick.
Toad agreed, and the germ jumped inside of Toad. The germ tried frantically to get the newspaper out. The germ heaved and hoed and tried to get the newspaper out. After hours, Toad could feel the newspaper coming out. The germ was heaving the newspaper out. The germ pulled and tugged and pulled and tugged. Finally, the newspaper was out.
Toad told the germ that he knew exactly who he could make sick. Toad and the germ ran straight to the hospital.
You remember the terms of this agreement, that the germ had said that he would help with this as long as Toad would show him someone to go inside of and make sick. So, guess where we're going to be now. Chapter 4, The Doctor.
The germ and Toad ran into the emergency room. He pointed out the
Toad doctor.
Toad pointed out the doctor to the germ. The germ jumped inside the doctor and lived happily ever after. The doctor lived uncomfortably ever after.
Okay, we don't know what sort of germ it is that's inside the doctor, but it's probably one that makes him sort of sick, but not so sick that he can't keep on with his activities, but just feel rotten, huh, Adam?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then we have Chapter 5. And I'll read the first paragraph of it. It's called Toad Gets Well. Toad got well since he got the newspaper out of him. Toad lived happily ever after.
The moral of this story is, never yawn in front of an open window when it is time for the paper boy to come.
And it's fun to have the story end with a moral that way, which is the way that many an old-fashioned story used to end, saying, and the moral of this story is Aesop's fables and things like that. Never yawn in front of an open window when it's time for the paper boy to come. I found Ryan's story last week and your story this week both to be well-shaped stories. They've got beginnings, middles, and ends, and they come back to some of the characters and the situations. I mean, in Ryan's story, for instance, we might have thought that going to that party had nothing to do with the case, but it ends up that the gaunt young man is at the party. And in yours, after he leaves the hospital, a lesser writer would have had Toad run away from the chainsaw and leave it there, but you have him not only get rid of the newspaper that is causing him distress, but also to get his revenge on the doctor that treated his case so lightly. I'd like to ask both you boys about your writing. Have you done much writing in the past? I know that, Adam, you're second grade, and so you haven't had quite as long on this earth to be writing as Ryan, but how much writing have you done before?
Well, I was writing when I was about 5, and I think I was writing before I ever went to school.
Mm-hmm. And did your mom take down some of the things that you wrote?
Yeah.
I see her nodding.
Mm-hmm. I dictated.
You dictated to her, right. I didn't start writing things down until I was in second grade, when I was 7, or maybe almost 8. But I started taking down their stories and poems and things like that when they were a lot younger, and I wish that my mother had done that for me. So you started writing at a very early age. How about you, Ryan?
I remember writing in first grade and getting a poem up on the bulletin board outside, and that was my first big honor with writing.
Uh-huh. And before that, did you write any things? Did your mom take anything down of yours?
Oh, nursery school poems.
Mm-hmm.
Seem trashy now, and the first grade bulletin board seems like a trifle.
Well, this is something that kids have to realize, and any writer has to realize, is that you're going to grow and develop. And kids grow and develop, of course, at a much greater rate than adults mm-hmm. do. So that what you wrote when you were 4 or 5 or 6 is going to seem like a trifle when you're 7 or 8 or 9,
mm-hmm.
Even a couple of weeks or a month or two after you've written something. But my advice is mm-hmm. don't despise those early things you've written. Keep them in a notebook or keep them in a briefcase or something. And then later on, when you're more tolerant of your early self, you'll look back and you'll say, hey, did I do that when I was 4 years old? Or did I do that when I was 7 years old? That's not so bad. And you can also see the stages of your learning as you go along. Furthermore, when you have your own kids, they will have a great deal of fun looking at your early writings and say, Daddy did this when he was 5 or 7 or 9 or 12. And it'll make you a real person to them, a real kid that was once running around and doing the things that they're doing. So it's good for everybody to keep these things and to, you know, yes, sure, they seem like a trifle now, but they won't. They have their value. Yeah? Go ahead, Adam.
Well, I've always thought to myself that it wouldn't mean much to my kids because it'd be sort of like the Jetsons, but I know better now.
They'll appreciate it. My kids have appreciated the things that I saved when I was little and have read them. Do you guys do much reading?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Both of you. What?
Avidly.
I can tell that you're both avid readers.
I'm on a murder mystery written by Poe now.
You're reading one of Poe's murder mysteries?
Mm-hmm. It's in a pocket classic, so it isn't that long.
Uh-huh. It's been sort of shortened for kids?
Mm-hmm.
You'll read the real thing later on, I hope.
It's a comic book version.
Comic book version, yeah? Well,
encourages kids to read novels.
So it gets you into the novels. Just don't figure that you've read the novel if you've read the comic book. You won't make that mistake, will you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you watch TV sparingly?
Well, when we get home, we go, we watch, usually we only have time for 2 cartoons, and then we usually go outside or read a book or something like that.
Usually I don't do anything but go over to my friend's house.
Mm-hmm. I'm not totally against TV. I think there's a lot of wonderful stuff on TV. A lot of trash, too. Mm-hmm. But when you see the statistics of how many hours some kids, especially little kids, spend in front of the TV, it's really quite scary, because even if all they were watching were first-rate programs, they're still just watching and not doing. They're not writing stories, they're not reading books, they're not playing. And playing is a very important thing for kids to do, for using their imaginations. And we used to play, and then we would write stories about the play, about the things that we played with, the stuffed animals and the little animals and our games and things like that.
I hope to be a cartoonist, and I'm currently writing a series of, well, I haven't started yet, I've started on the cover of the first issue of comic books on something I came up with called The Frog Squad.
The Frog Squad.
Mm-hmm.
That one sounds good. I saw a good cartoon that you'd written of dinosaurs, where they got rid of one by kicking it into the next comic strip.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was pretty clever.
Thank you.
Adam, why did you have a toad for the hero of your story?
Well, I thought this toad up because our teacher asked us what we knew about best. And I wrote down toads, lily pads, ponds, and flies.
Uh-huh.
So it all came out in toad. My first story was Toad flies a kite. He gets taken up into space. But you don't hear anything about this, but it's just in the picture. It shows the Enterprise passing by. And
the Star Trek Enterprise?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And it all wound up that Toad had stolen a kite from a kid So it all wound up that he flew down to a kid on the kite. First, he landed in a haystack and found the needle in his behind.
Uh-huh.
And he went to a kid, gave him his kite, nearly knocked him over giving it to him, and went home. The first part of the story was Toad's bad day, when Toad got up and he found that someone had swiped his underwear.
That would be a bad day.
And
if it's your only pair.
His toast flew out the window and it popped up from the toaster. So
the day goes on like that. Let's get back to this story for a moment. It really made possible your story by having Toad, because if Toads have great big mouths, so that when he yawned, it would be a huge mouth, and so the newspaper could very well go into it. It couldn't have been an anteater, because with that long, narrow snout that anteaters have, that the tongue comes out at the end, you know, almost like a snake's mouth that licks out for the ants, you couldn't have gotten anything inside that anteater any bigger than a fortune cookie message. So you wouldn't have the same story. I think that story has lots of humor, and that the stories of Ryan's that I've read have lots of humor, too. And as I said last week, for the program you'll be hearing last week, that it's not easy to write a genuinely funny story, but it's a lot of fun to try, and parts of it may very well come out. Do you have any writing advice, either of you, from Northern Illinois, to give to our listeners here in Central Illinois?
Well, I have some advice. Never think that everybody in the entire world is going to like your story a lot, because some people will despise it, but you just ignore those people.
And keep on doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Very good advice. Ryan, have you got any advice?
One, try to think up the outcome of your story before you try to write it. I did a very foolish thing when I first wrote this and just dictated it straight out of my mind as the thoughts came in. I should have...
Of Sherlock Holmes, your
yes,
mobile
I
homes?
Yes, I should have... What I should have done is laid down on my bed and thought out the outcome of the story before I ever dictated it to my mother here.
Well, I'd debate that with you. My advice is usually to just, if you get a good idea, start out and see where it takes you. Because you can always go back and change it. And I found that when I figured something all out before I ever wrote it down, that then I usually didn't write it down. So think about that. There's there's many ways of writing, and one is figuring it all out ahead of time, and another way is start out and see where you're going. Now, I'm going to have you read, when we end our program in a minute or two, the story you wrote in first grade. Did you have that ending in mind when you began the story?
Yes, I did.
Well, as you listeners will discover, the whole story depends on the ending. And so sometimes you start with an ending. I have written stories that end with the idea is for the ending, and then you write the story to go ahead of it. And this is what Ryan did. So we'll do that in just a moment. And before we get to reading Ryan's story, I want to thank both of you for your advice and for your stories and for coming down here to Springfield and sharing them, and to suggest to our writers from listening to the program this week to continue with what you did last week, which is to write a story out of your own imagination. See what's in your head. It may be based on some experience that you've had, like Toad's bad day might be based on a bad day that you've had, but see if you can make up something out of your head. So that'll be our assignment, and let's finish up with having Ryan read a story that he wrote in first grade, and what's the name of it? The Boy Who...
Bodiless Boy.
The Bodiless Boy. And this is a story that Ryan wrote in first grade.
The Bodiless Boy. There was a boy who was just ahead.
Yeah, there in front of the mic a little better. Okay, there was a boy that was just ahead. Go on.
He couldn't go to school get in bed or sit in a chair. He always wanted a body badly. He wanted a body so badly that he went into a wizard. Then the body was made. Because the wizard knew why, then the body was made because the wizard knew why the boy came. The boy was so happy when he got his new body that he danced in the street and got hit by a car. The moral to this story is stop while you're ahead.
And that's the punchline that the whole story was written for. Stop while you're ahead. So we will now stop this program while we're ahead. And thank you, Ryan Smith and Adam Smith, for coming down, and your mother, Karen Smith, for bringing you. And I want to see great writing from you guys in the future.
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.